WildTalkRadio.com.
Alright, it's been a long time since I've done this, but here we go. Welcome to Monday Night Raw. Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
Monday Night Raw, he's here.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
He's here, isn't he?
He's everywhere. And I can hear him now. Let him in.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The Queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
Raw Legends Night. If we've learned anything in wrestling, WCW still is the go-to option. This is the Raw Post Show presented by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. I'm Sir Rock, and that's Lindsay Ward.
It's always nice to see the new legends. Have to see some people we haven't seen in a while, so I guess that's a good thing. I don't know. Like, I don't want to bash the fact that they had a bunch of people there for nostalgia, although I did feel really bad for IRS because they, like, fired him in 2020 and they're like, hey, come back for Legends Night. It's fine. We lit your son on fire. Your other one hasn't been seen in a year. It's cool.
Cool.
It's totally cool.
Monday Night Raw opened with Miz TV, and they were talking about how Miz got his Money in the Bank contract back because WWE officials that went, hey, you deserve it. Kofi and Xavier were brought out as guests, and they were going back and forth, but it's not Miz TV, it's New Day Talks. And Kofi Kingston was the host, and Woods was the band leader, and then he was the bailiff at one point, and then he was the chef. John Morrison was playing into it all. Miz was annoyed by John Morrison playing into it all. And then as they went back and forth and Miz got upset, we had a Teddy Long appearance who said Miz and Morrison will be going up against The Undertaker. And then Pierce is like, no, Teddy, that can't happen anymore. So we got a tag team match player, holla holla.
Miz and Morrison. Randy Orton's still there. He could have made it with Randy Orton.
Miz Morrison versus The New Day. In the opening contest. I mean, they could have. Totally could have.
Like, they... Honestly, I'm gonna be real. I'm surprised they did not have Taker there. I'm a little surprised, but based on what happened at the end of Raw, I understand why Taker was not there.
I wasn't surprised.
Well, it's like, okay, not to knock everybody that was there, because they were all important, but some names are bigger than others. And while it's always good to see Rick, and it's always Hulk was there.
With his H phone. Because you have to pick up the H phone where you can tweet and text and tweet and Instagram and Facebook and with the H phone, brother.
Things. You were kind of waiting for that big moment because they were building to a big moment all night. So it's like you see the legends running around backstage. We got Teddy Long. He made the tag team match, which was a good match. It was a really good match. It was just interesting how they kind of built to the end. Because they also had, speaking of Randy Orton, they had Randy Orton tempting fate. Also, I don't need Kofi Kingston doing that kind of hip swiveling with that look on his face in my life. I just... No. Just no.
New Day ended up getting the win over Miz and Morrison.
As they should.
There's a question in the chat from a fan, a big time fan, Tim Steen. Do you think there's even a chance the fans come back by WrestleMania?
Nope.
They could be back as soon as the Royal Rumble.
I think it all depends on the COVID numbers and how they're surging. Because there haven't been enough vaccinations distributed and the UK just went back on full lockdown again. So, and that doesn't necessarily dictate what we do here in the US, but depending on what happens with the presidential election, it could influence things a bit. So we'll have to see.
Rumble will have limited fans. WrestleMania will have 2/3 capacity.
Maybe. We'll see.
That's my guess.
I'm saying probably not, just based on what's happening here with the numbers and everything and how they're surging again. And with a new strain here, it's hard to say.
You brought up Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
He was interviewed by Charlie Caruso backstage, and she asked what was going through his head when he lit the match. The voices in his head were telling him to set her on fire, but he just couldn't do it. Because when you interact with the Fiend, when you face the Fiend, something inside you changes. He showed compassion for Alexa Bliss and mercy, and now he hates himself for it. He told Charlie to imagine what would happen if he directed the hatred he has for himself at someone else. So why not go around and find some legends to reminisce with?
Right.
Well, you know, that too. We'll get to them.
I like the consistency of this. I like how they're still maintaining that, and they even said it, that when you interact with the Fiend, you change.
Yeah.
I like that they're continuing that. Well done, guys.
Yeah. Well done.
Well done.
AJ Styles beat Elias, but I think the match wasn't the thing. It was a solid match. It was the aftermath where Omos blocked the guitar shot.
Yeah, with his body. And he just didn't flinch. He was like, what was that? Why did you do that to me?
What was that? What was the thing?
Rude. So rude. And then you had Jackson Ryker just be very confused as to why Omos was not intimidated by him at all and running away.
Right.
I mean, you know, Omos is way more intimidating just based on size, but, you know, it is what it is, I guess. Jackson had it confused.
He did. Backstage, Matt Riddle was talking with the Big Show. If he had the idea of becoming the Big Bro, but he had his match come up, but he'll keep coming with ideas. And Randy Orton showed up and talked about taking Big Show out with an RKO and a punt kick and how he'll never wrestle again. And Big Show's like, I can do whatever I want. And he asked Show how it feels knowing his career is over, and Big Show's like, yeah, I could do it. And Orton tries to grab Big Show by the neck, and Big Show smiled and sat back down. He said he's not embarrassed to be out there with the legends. He's proud of it. Orton said Show should, he doesn't have the guts to introduce himself to the Legend Killer, so he better be on his way.
Let's just do them all. Let's just hit them all, because Randy decided to berate, like, everybody.
Then he found Mark Henry,
who was on a scooter. He hurt his foot.
Yeah. He talked about how he has, you know, his medical procedures, wear and tear, and all that fun stuff. And he talked about how, wonders it, hopefully the scooter gets him out fast enough. Mark Henry goes, hopefully fast enough to get away from your ass. And then Randy's like, you know, back in the old days, we should reminisce how many times you put me into the Hall of Pain with the World's Strongest Slam. You have some receipts coming, and it's Legends Night. But I'll let you go if you just pedal your ass away. So that was a thing. We'll come
and
back
then,
to go ahead.
And then he found IRS.
So Ric Flair was talking with IRS and Molly Holly, and Mr. IRS quickly left after Orton glared at him for a second.
We're not going to talk
about it. Orton talking about
it. Like you're just... No, before you continue, it's like you just see IRS and you know what's coming, and you're like, oh God, please, please, please don't do anything to Brace Dad. Please, please don't. Please be nice to him. He had a bad year.
Orton talked about having Flair walk to the ring for old times' sakes. He said he wouldn't let Flair screw up his match like he did his own daughter's, which we should talk about before we continue.
Yes.
It was Charlotte and Asuka taking on Lacey Evans and Peyton Royce. Lacey was flirting with Rick. And, all this sort of led to a distraction, and then Charlotte got rolled up. Charlotte ducked by the kick and then ran to ropes. Rick tripped his daughter, who was pinned by Payne when she was actually trying to help his daughter, and then Charlotte said, stay out of my business forever, basically.
Till the next time they need to put them together.
Till the next time they need to put them back together, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's Charlotte and Rick, they keep kind of, you know, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, so. And it was good, it was fine, it was a little weird that you had, like, Charlotte and Rick break up again, randomly, especially when Charlotte's supposed to be a face, so I don't know if that's a tease that she's eventually going to turn on Asuka, or what. Going on there, but
I think we all know. I think we all know it's going to be a turn by. I don't know.
Ever. I mean, it's Charlotte. Eventually she turns on everybody, right?
Flair said he would never walk Randy out or down the aisle again. He said he believed in him. Orton said he learned everything from, you know, from Rick, who was the dirtiest player in the game. Orton said Flair's daughter is 10 times the competitor than he ever was. Orton said he sees a man who looks and talks like Ric Flair, but he's not the man who taught him damn near everything he knows. And then Orton said he's a pathetic old man.
I mean, at least there's the continuity from when Randy, like, beat Rick up from a few months ago, so there is that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it served its purpose. It's basically Randy Orton going around berating everybody.
Which led to Randy and Jeff Hardy having a pretty good match, with Randy Orton getting a win and nothing.
Surprisingly nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
It's very quiet. There's no Alexa. There was no Fiend. There was no even a hint of a Fiend. It was just Randy Orton basically going around being a dick to everybody all night, tempting fate, and fate not responding. So we'll have to see what fate holds for him next week if, you know, Alexa and Bray decide to make the presence fault. I mean, maybe Alexa's fixing all the puppets.
Maybe.
Because, you know, she's got to comfort Huskus, and Mercy and Abby's got to split them up, and then poor Ramblin'.
She has to sew him back together.
She's got to get the Gorilla Glue and put him back together.
A couple of matches that happened on the show. Riddle beat Lashley after apparently Riddle tapped, but the referee didn't see it because he got swung and the referee had a duck and allowed Riddle to roll up Lashley as MVP just went, he tapped.
This was awkward because you had MVP on the ring apron just stand there and watch Lashley get pinned. And I get it was the end of the match and that kind of thing, but it was just a really awkward interaction because you have them going for the win and MVP's just standing there watching. Like, he's not even really reacting until after the pin happens. He's not trying to distract the ref. He's not trying to do anything. He's just watching almost in disbelief as this is happening. So, I don't know. It was a fine match, but it was weird. It was very, very weird.
It was supposed to be Shayna Baszler and Mandy Rose, but Shayna jumped Mandy. So Dana stepped in, beat Shayna in 40 seconds while in a choke, and then the two of them attacked Shayna, and yeah.
Poor Shayna. I feel bad for her.
She could be in a better spot. We had the Raw Tag Team Champions, Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin of the Hurt Business, taking on the Lucha House Party, with the Lucha House Party getting the win.
And partying with Melina.
Yeah, before the match, they did the whole Lucha thing. So Melina was there. Woohoo.
So we're making Lucha House Party a thing. I'm here for that.
They were a thing on NXT last week, and they're going to be a thing here apparently on Raw. So a big week for Lucha House Party. Big week. So earlier that night, we were backstage, and Angel Garza was showing off his belt to Alicia Fox. She asked if he was the guy who drank cranberry juice while skating to the Fleetwood Mac song. He was like, no, and then she stormed away, and then Garza found Mickie James, Sergeant Slaughter, and Tatanka in full gear. Garza was giving a rose to Mickie James, and who's married, by the way.
With kids,
and Sergeant with a kid, and Sergeant Slaughter took it and called Garza a maggot.
Sarge looking out for Mickie's honor.
Yep. Then, later in the show, Tori Wilson was talking with Nikki Cross, and then Angel Garza walked up. One, Tori Wilson, Nikki Cross in the same segment. Big height difference.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, Tori had some serious heels on, but Nikki's small. Nikki's a little small. She's a little short, but yeah. Tori just, like, towered over her.
Tori said she invited Cardi B, Kylie Jenner, and Ariana Grande to the show. And Tori's, like, told Garza that they were in a room down the hall. And then Angel walked in the room, and instead of Cardi B, she found the Boogie Man. So Angel runs out of the room. R-Truth rolls him up, wins back his title, and skips away with Tori and Nikki. And then Ron Simmons shows up and damns him.
Angel, this is what you get for being a hoe. Just saying. You lost your title because you decided to be a hoe.
Backstage, Sheamus and Pert was talking with Drew McIntyre and asked him what he was ready for tonight. And Sheamus asked Drew to give Keith Lee an extra kick in the head for him. And he'd do whatever it takes to defend his title. Hogan and Jimmy Hart showed up, and Hogan said he is Sheamus' number one fan. And Hogan was happy to see Drew, and he wished him luck and said he was excited for the match. Hogan said it looked like McIntyre had been training and saying his prayers, eating his vitamins, you know the deal. Hogan said he was proud of Drew McIntyre for raising the WWE flag high during these strange times. Hogan said Drew reminds him of himself, and Drew's like, thanks, Hogan, and asked Sheamus in his big mouth reminded Hogan of Jimmy Hart, and McIntyre called the Mouse south of the of Ireland, and Sheamus said none of them were funny, and then wished Drew luck, and he left, and Hogan said, one more question for you, and they did the, what you gonna do, brother? Yeah, I don't think the Hogan endorsement in 2021 is going to get you far, brother, but here we are.
I mean, they gave Drew the nod, the rub, the whatever, I don't know.
So, it was main event time. Keith Lee, Drew McIntyre for the WWE title. Keith Lee made his entrance, and he had walked past all the legends who were on the stage, including Booker T and Jeff Jarrett, who were there. They all watched from the stage. Really good main event with Drew McIntyre getting the win.
And this is a really good match. I'm very, very, very sad that this was not, like, a pay-per-view main event. It should have been Rumble, Mania, just because this was a great match, and I would have liked to have seen it had a little bit more of a build, be a little bit stronger. But overall, it was a great match. Afterwards, we saw the sign of respect between Keith and Drew. All the legends were applauding. They were awkwardly on the stage, and conveniently, there was a hole right in the center for another legend, your Keystone legend, to appear.
Come on, say it. Say his name. Say it. Say it. Say it.
Making his return because we have a young, up-and-coming talent who's running with the title and has carried the title for almost a year. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to cuck him with Goldberg.
Goldberg.
In case you can't tell, I am, like, incredibly bitter about last year between Goldberg and Bray.
Yeah.
Excessively bitter about it, because it never should have happened.
So here we go. Drew McIntyre, you know, I was in the back and I was thinking there couldn't be a better representative to be the WWE champion. He told Drew he has the size, the speed, the athleticism. He said, one thing McIntyre doesn't have is respect. Goldberg said McIntyre views the legends as washed up and believes he is better today than they were in their prime. Goldberg says McIntyre doesn't think any legends pose a threat to him. Goldberg said that's where he steps in.
I don't think Drew thinks any of those things, by the way.
Goldberg said he wasn't demanding anything or posing a threat. No, sir, I'm coming to challenge you at the Royal Rumble for the WWE Championship. McIntyre said Goldberg was trying to get inside his head. He said he's all about respect. He told Goldberg to think about himself 10 years ago. McIntyre said he's fighting Goldberg would be like fighting his own dad because blah, 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 blah.
End of show.
Goldberg shoved McIntyre. The line was, Drew said, he's like fighting Goldberg would be like fighting his own dad, and did the awkward laughing. Ha 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 ha. And Goldberg shoved him, and we went off the air with him because Goldberg took his time to recite his promo, and I looked at the clock. It's 10:59. Goldberg's still talking, and Drew hasn't responded, and it's 11 o'clock, and Drew McIntyre hasn't responded, and you can see the thing coming up on the bottom of the thing, and it's like, we have to go.
You can almost imagine the production person that has run out on the stage, and they're, like, motioning at Drew, like, hurry it the hell up, we're going off the air. Like, that's almost what you can imagine in your head, and Drew just, like, spits the line out, and because... No, he has such a heavy accent, and this is not a criticism at all, but because he has the heavy accent, it just comes out kind of garbled, so you don't quite get the line, so you just kind of get this sort of like, you know, you almost get it, and then you don't, and then they just start laughing with each other, and you're like, okay, what just happened? Why are we doing this? No! Just, I'm sorry. No. No, no. No, 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 no. Unless Drew beats Goldberg, but if Goldberg fucking politics himself into winning that title again and taking it into WrestleMania again, God, no. Why would you do that? It worked out horribly last year. Absolutely horribly. It was so awkward last year. And Bray has only just now really recovered from it. Like, that's the thing. It's like, why are you going to do this to Drew where it's like you're going to cut his legs out from under him with Goldberg? Unless you're going to have him beat him and then you're going to have Goldberg give him the rub and then that's fine. But I'm just, no. I'm so tired of this whole, we're bringing the legends back to wrestle thing. No disrespect to them because they've certainly earned their respect. But it's like, legends, I don't want to see it at this point.
Legends can wrestle anyone except for people for fighting for championships.
Or The Undertaker. Well, even if it's in a cinematic match.
Yeah.
And so they're going to go pout somewhere else.
Because it's Sting!
I mean, I'm not saying that Goldberg doesn't bring something to the table, but it's just, to me, especially after last year, it's so unnecessary. It's just, do you really have nobody else for Drew to fight? Like, you couldn't have set up challengers for Drew to fight?
Give me Drew and Sheamus.
Yeah, you could have saved Drew and Keith Lee for the Rumble. Unless there's another plan for Drew and Keith Lee, and that's fine. But, like, just Goldberg and Drew does nothing for me, and honestly, I don't want to be that fan, but I don't want to see it. I don't care about it. I'm not into Goldberg wrestling at this point, just because the last couple times that he's been out, it has not been pretty. I'm sorry, guys. It hasn't. He dropped Taker on his freaking head. He about killed him. And as for the Bray match, do we need to talk about the Bray match? Do we need to talk about how he couldn't even pick Bray up? And I understand that Bray Wyatt is not a light motherfucker. I get that. But at the same time, like, he didn't even really, it seems like, prep to pick Bray up.
Mm-hmm.
He went over there to get his money, he went over there to get his title, and then he came back, and then he was going to work Mania to get his other paycheck. And then the pandemic happened.
Well, he did get the match.
He did get the match, but...
Just not against Roman.
Yeah, just not against Roman, because Roman walked out.
Yep.
And instead of putting him back at Roman, unless they're going to do that at Rumble, or I'm sorry, after Rumble, they're pointing him at Drew. Because I think at this point...
I think they heard the reaction, no one wants that match.
Yeah. Everybody was like, how about no? We don't do that. And so now they're pointing Drew at Goldberg and Goldberg at Drew. This is like almost to me, and this is again, no offense to Goldberg, if you're going to do some shit like this, do it on like Backlash. Don't do it at Rumble. Don't do it at one of the big four. Because to me, this isn't a big four marquee match. Because you generally know how it's going to end, which is Drew's probably going to win. There's a very good chance he's going to win.
I mean, he beat the Fiend. Anything's possible.
But like I said, but it's like Goldberg could basically say, hey, it's a good idea for me to win the title and put himself over and beat Drew when the likes of like Keith Lee couldn't. And Keith Lee is twice the wrestler of Goldberg. So I don't know. I just know I'm just not into this. I'm not here for it. I don't like it. I hate it here. Please, please don't do it. Just please don't do it. Like, I don't want to be that fan, and I don't want to complain, but I just know. Just know.
So that was Legends Night.
I mean, it was a solid night.
All built to the return of Bill Goldberg. Pog.
No.
Well, you know what is Pog? We're live Thursday.
We are back. We are off of our hiatus. I hope you guys enjoyed Pop Goes the Rack and Jingle All the Rack. And we will be doing New Year's Evil. We'll be previewing that.
Reviewing
New Year's Evil because it's Wednesday. And we're going to be doing our predictions for 2021. And we're going to be going over our picks for 2020. Should be an interesting time. So it's The Rack, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WallTalkRadio.com.
Saturday night, Midnight Edition, Super Radio, SuperLive.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. Sunday night, it's the WTR Fantasy Draft. Team The Rack's going to win again.
Rock the hard carry.
I mean, I'm the hard carry in fantasy, you're the hard carry in Fortnite. It all goes together. We'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Hey, if you have Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming, and you can support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use credit code ROCKSTOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad. Hashtag epic partner. You can go.
Oh, you can follow me on most of the social medias at Lins Ward, LNSWRD.
We'll see you Thursday night live for The Rack at 10 p.m. Houston. Right back here for the Raw Post Show every Monday night. Along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network. Right here at WildTalkRadio.com. WildTalkRadio.com.